Feel the presence of the Lord everywhere, even when you walk through the door. I'm glad to be here tonight. Are you glad that you're in the house of God tonight? I can't think of any place in the world that I had rather be than be in the house of the living God. Let's all go up to the throne of God and ask Him for very, very special blessings upon us tonight. To make Himself so real to us and just penetrate deep down into our very hearts and souls. Amen?
Amen.
Our precious Father, we come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus. And we ask Thee, O Lord, our God, to make a very special move for us here tonight. Lord, we're a needy people. Father, there is no way that we can even survive without Thy hand upon us and the direction of Thy Spirit. Hear, O Lord, our God, the cries, the praises, and the thanks unto a living God. For His Son, Jesus Christ, who has made it possible. Lord, we will never forget to give You the thanks. We'll never forget to praise You. And Lord, for we have received in His precious name. And freely, O Lord, our God, will we give unto others that which You have so graciously given unto us. Lord, come down among us tonight. It's Your word. It's Your promise. You said You live in the praises of Your people. Oh, my Lord and my God, make a great and mighty move here tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Tom, would you come?
We all get to heaven, see? Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In those mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. One day I'll rejoicing that will be when we all while we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are ended, not a shadow, not a sky. When we all get to heaven, one day of rejoicing that will be. When we all victory. Now onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon those pearly gates will open. We will strike the streets of gold. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus,
hallelujah,
we'll
hallelujah,
sing and shout the victory.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
I believe you just said, G.
I am coming to Jesus for rest. Rest such as purified, no. And my soul is a thirst to be blessed. To be washed in me whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves. And His blood washes whiter than snow.
Praise the Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, God. We praise you, God. We thank you, God. Praise the name of the risen, resurrected Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You may be seated. And now the Alamo Quartet.
Testify to us, brothers. Don't sing, testify to us.
Well, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you stroll down the golden avenue. There are matches left and right, and you're thrilled every night, and the saints are always smiling, saying, how do you do? Well, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you realize you've always made it through. You'll be glad you were not idle, your time to read your Bible. It's a great, great morning for you.
Hey. I had a dream, I now confess I hated to awake.
He dreamt he was an angel at that great pearly gate.
Say, Peter said, why, hello there, where have you been?
We've got your mansion ready, Ernie, so come right on in.
Then he rang for an angel to act as a guide.
Read his way with his time, but you ain't learned how to fly.
Well, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you stroll down the golden avenue. There are mansions left and right, and you're thrilled every sight, and the saints are always smiling, singing, how do you do? Well, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you realize your worrying days are through. You'd be glad you were not idle, to kindly read your Bible. It's a great, great morning for you. Well, it's a great morning. Well, it's a great morning. Well, it's a great morning.
Thank you. station called Transfiguration. An angel of the Lord declared that it would be.
He said,
don't stand here grieving for the one that you see leaving, in like manner coming back for you and me.
Oh, I believe
he's coming back like he said. I believe that a trumpet's gonna sound so loud, for they're sailing away today.
In the twinkling of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky.
I believe he's coming back like he said.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Sing it, Ernest.
Oh, I believe the time is near that we'll soon see his appearing. Oh, this could be the hour. Oh, this could be the day when those saints from every nation, oh, they'll lose their gravitation in the middle of the air, be caught away.
Yes, I believe
it's coming back.
Of an eye,
he'll split the eastern sky. I believe he's coming back like he said.
Oh, in the twinkling of an eye,
he'll split the eastern sky. I believe he's coming back like he said.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is here tonight. You can sure tell with these brothers, somebody's been praising and thanking the Lord today. Praise the Lord. The Alamo Brothers, come on, brothers, and testify to it.
Hard money to climb out, give you strength. Lord, thank you.
You've been
so oh, Lord, thank you.
You'll never
oh, Lord, thank you.
Thank
oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you.
Thank
oh, Lord, thank you.
Thank
oh, Lord, thank you.
I'm happy.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
I'm working.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
Trying.
Oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you.
And I'm a child of me. If you have a hard money climb, I'll give you strength.
I'll give you strength.
I'll set you free.
I'll set you free.
And Lord, I thank
you. Oh, Lord, thank you.
I'll thank
you. Oh, Lord, thank you.
You've been
oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you.
Thank
you. Oh, Lord, thank you.
Thank
you. Oh, Lord, thank you.
Lord.
Oh, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you.
I'm happy.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
I'm worthy.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
Try.
Oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you.
And I'm a child.
Oh,
Lord.
Sisters, you got your hands full. Come on.
And by me
like a sheep out on the field. Thou rulest wind and water, stand by me. When I'm growing
has done.
let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary.
Tell you, the Lord is here tonight, is he? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You remember the one from Carlos Avenue, Crescent Heights, August? The many nights that we used to have all night prayer meetings that people would just really get in before the Lord. And we used to cry out to God to turn the spotlight upon our hearts and to show us our own heart. You know, we don't know our own heart. Our minds lead us to believe what we want to believe. But if you watch a person very long, you can tell by the things that come out of their mouth where that heart is before God. Isn't that right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, God tells us that. Before we start the message tonight, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And I'm going to ask Tony to lead us in Lord, I Believe. You know, Jesus was and is the Word. The Word was made flesh, and he came down from his eternal everlasting throne and dwelt among all flesh. And as we sing this song, Lord, I Believe, let's ask that same request of God tonight to turn the spotlight upon our hearts and show us what we really are. Our failures and our shortcomings. You know, if we stumble along in this life and hold on to the things of the enemy, and we refuse to allow God to shake us loose from it, the end result, the Bible says, when sin is conceived, it bringeth forth death. And that's what happens. It's death. It's a spiritual death. It's a physical death. And as we sing this song tonight unto the Lord, Lord, I Believe, ask him to turn the spotlight upon our hearts to reveal to us our weak spots.
Lord, we believe.
Every aggravating, every agitating demon in hell,
the Lord says,
I know
it's possible,
I shall be delivered,
only
because I believe.
Only believe.
Only believe.
And only receive.
Praise the Lord.
I know that it's possible.
I know that it's possible.
Only believe.
Only believe. Hallelujah.
And now we receive.
Yes, Jesus.
Now we receive.
Yes, Lord.
Because we believe.
Yes, Lord.
We know that it's possible.
Yes, we do, Jesus.
And now we receive.
Of Luke, the ones of you who have your Bibles, 8th chapter, beginning at verse 5. Luke 8, 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others, in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which then they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now they may win them, but they can't stay in there with it until the race is finished. And they don't bring them to perfection. And that on the good ground are they, which is an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whatsoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. I want to take you tonight. I want to allow you a moment or a second here. I want you to see this with your spiritual eyes. I want you to bear in mind this wasn't the Apostle Paul even that was talking. It wasn't one of the prophets. It wasn't one of the disciples. It wasn't Martin Luther. It wasn't John Wesley. But I want to take you to that far away little land, a little isolated nation sitting out there in the nowhere, really. I want you to see the whole picture as it happened. I want you that these scriptures tonight become so real to you in your heart and in your life that actually you find yourself putting your feet right into the sands of time that he walked in. And open the doors of your heart and receive his word. Here we see this man that was brought into this world under conditions that the social structure would say were disgraceful. Everything about his birth, to organized religion, to the priests, to the rabbis, was a disgraceful event. It was one that they could not socially tolerate or be a party to. This young Hebrew girl, Mary, claimed that the angel of the Lord had appeared unto her and that he had told her that she would bring forth a son that would be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And from what I understand of Bible history, Joseph was much older than Mary. And that was sort of an odd couple to begin with. Here's this middle-aged man and this very young girl. But then God confirmed unto Joseph that this girl he loved was to bear a child by the power of the Holy Ghost. Also confirmed out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, the mother of John the Baptist bore witness of the Holy Ghost that this was the truth. But yet this was a very, very small little group of people as far as the established churches of that time were concerned. Very, very small group. The large groups of people were attending the synagogue and the heathen palaces of worship. Even though the prophets had foretold of the birth of this glorious event of the ages, yet they had become such socialized groups that there wasn't any longer a strong holding, a firm hold upon the Word and upon the truth of God. The temple had been turned into a house of money changers. Instead of them going there, raising the little lambs and the doves without spot or blemish, and taking them and laying them on the altar before God and offering their blood as a sacrifice. That was outdated. We're living in modern times, and this is foolish. To go through all these preparations. So the money changers set up stores and shops in the temple. And they sold the little lambs and the goats, the bullocks, the doves. And they made it very, very easy for them. And knowing Jewish people, like I know them, they all probably chipped in on one dove or one lamb, and said, well, it's going to lose its blood anyway, so we might as well all chip in, and instead of buying half a dozen of them, let's just buy one of them. We'll all chip in together, and we'll buy one, and, you know, just offer up for the sacrifice the sins of everybody. You know, no sense spending more than we have to. God was looking upon their performances, and his wrath was kindled against them. And he said back there after he had watched them for a while, these people, that he had taken them to his own heart. He called them my people, my chosen people. And he took them, the prophets of God, and he took them unto the highest mountain peaks, and he let them survey the glorious lands around them. And he said, go ye forth and possess the land. You're my people, and I have made a covenant with you. Go ye forth and possess the land. There isn't any doubt today about who the Holy Land belongs to. It belongs to the Jews because God set the boundary lines himself. When the Jews turn back to the true and living God and accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah, then they shall possess the land. And the new Jerusalem that will come down out of the heaven is the glorious spiritual body that shall rule the universe, the throne of David. Praise the Lord. But these people begin to forget the goodness of God. They forgot to be thankful. They forgot to praise and to thank him for their covenant in him and with him. They forgot to lift up their voices in praises and thanks unto the God that had blown his own breath into their bodies and made them a living soul. They became self-possessed, headstrong, defiant, not thy will, but my will be done. Not, Lord, thy statutes and thy covenant, but my personal desire. God said, I don't want you running out and marrying these heathen women. I don't want you mixing your blood with the ungodly. I want you to be a pure race of people. I want you to be clean in my eyes. He laid down the laws, and as each law was given unto them, they began to figure a way to get around. They ran into the Gentile, into the heathen nations, and they brought them into the camps, and they went back and forth with them, and they married them, and they took them to live with, and they broke every law of God. Then they would raise up their voices against the Almighty God. If God has brought us out of Egypt, if God has brought us here, what has he brought us here for? I left mine home back in Egypt. I left mine home. We left home. And here we are in a strange land with pots and pans over our shoulders and tents to sleeping. And then this Moses, all of a sudden, this cloud goes over in the sky, and Moses hollers, and we all jump up, and we start tearing down these tents, and we start gathering together our belongings, and we go again. He says he's taken us to a promised land. What have we left our homes for, and the comfort, the surroundings of where we wanted to live? What have you done? Have you brought us out here to die, to starve to death? Look, there isn't even any water. But God performed a miracle, and he showed it to them. Water flowed out of the rock. At night, as they slept, manna from heaven was placed all over the earth for them. He sent them meat, fowl of the earth. But yet they lost sight of the sole purpose of their being there. They lost sight of the Word. Some of the Word fell among thorns. Oh, at first, they believed it. They believed. Oh, they had been tortured. They had been abused. They had been persecuted. They had had to work 18, 20, 24 hours out of a 24-hour period. And they saw themselves as they were pushed towards the sea, and all of a sudden they saw the waters open. And they came across on dry land, and they praised God, and they thanked God. But after they were taken out of Egypt, out into the wilderness, the desert place, they began to complain and find fault. Where I want to live, I never want to be here in the first place. I don't like what we have to do. We have to get out, and we have to work, and we have to hunt for food, and we have to do all these things. And look at, you know, I don't care. It was better the leeks and the garlic back in Egypt than what we're getting put through. Now, who does this sound like to you? You know, you've heard it. And they forgot the Word. God looked at them with such disgust that he was sorry he had ever created them. And he looked at those people and he said, these people have absolutely no understanding. They have no understanding. They have departed from my ways. They have departed from my words. When we go back to this setting, as we come up through these prophecies to the birth, to the time of Jesus Christ. He was an outcast, hated, despised, rejected of the churches, rejected even of his own people. And yet, we see him in these scriptures. He was ministering, he was preaching. And as he walked around out there with the disciples, Mary Magdalene, some of the women, some of his few followers, and to these people he had a message. They were unlearned, they were not uneducated people, but he wanted them to understand every word that he was saying. Because by that every word were their souls being weighed into eternity. The enemy cometh immediately to devour that word, because if that word grows in your heart, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. You will be saved. That is his purpose. If we don't have anything to worry about, if we can just simply receive Jesus Christ into our hearts and go back and live our lives any way that pleases us and do whatever we want to do, why is the devil harassing us and persecuting us and abusing us? He has to have a purpose, isn't that right? He wouldn't be after you if there wasn't a reason. Jesus said, I want these people to understand this. These people are uneducated. Lord, we don't understand what you're saying. And I could imagine Jesus looking at this crowd. You know, you're my disciples. You've been born into the mystery of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. You understand all that. Because unto you has been given a special knowledge that those people were not given of it. I am speaking to these people in parables as a lesson to you. Deal with these people in love. Patience. Understanding. I think of this church. Sure, there are a lot of people that are born again all around us. A lot of them. But the enemy has come and choked out the word. It's grown up with weeds. It's devoured by the fowl of the air. It's eaten up. And it's all over. But unto us, I don't know why. I can't answer that. I can't answer. When the young people in this church begin to talk to people that have sat in churches for 40, 50, 60 years, they're amazed at your Bible knowledge. You wasn't called just to be a Christian, but your call and your election is sure and positive. It's certain. You're evangelists. You carry the word of the living God. And the powers of hell despise you. They hate you. They hate your shepherd. Oh, if we could just do away with them two, just let us get in among that bunch. But I pray unto the living God tonight that that word will be so secure into your hearts and your souls that there is nothing in heaven, in earth, or in hell that could ever shake you from Jesus Christ your Lord and from His word. We start out as young Christians. Lord, tell us, were those seeds, were they in little bags? Were they different kinds that were thrown out? Did you throw out all different kinds of seeds, and then maybe some of us got some that maybe the others didn't get, or were they different kinds? No. No. They all came out of the same bag. They're all just alike. But some opened the doors of their hearts and received joyfully. I used to get a kick out of the kids. The judgments of God. They say that's heavy. That's heavy, man. They love that. When a person's heart is right with God, they don't resent being told. They don't resent being rebuked. But they begin to search their hearts and say, Lord, if there be sin in my heart, I plead the blood from Emmanuel's veins. I want restoration in God. I want to be restored to Jesus Christ, my Lord. When we're young Christians, God immediately begins to show us our problem. Now, Satan will do everything in the world to justify the sins in our lives. There isn't anything in the world he won't do to try to cover it up. But God shows it. He shows it to people. If we're lazy, if it has to be a brother or a sister to buff it a little bit, they're going to say, hey, you're lazy. You know that? God is going to show it to us. If we're liars, he's going to let you get caught. The Word said so. Isn't that right? If we have an uncontrollable disposition, and we in truth go to the Almighty God and begin to seek deliverance from this destructive, demonic nature, we're going to receive deliverance from it. But if we're going to sit back and, well, I wouldn't have done it, but he caused it, she caused it, they did it, we're doomed, absolutely doomed. There's nobody in this world causing you to do anything. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. That mouth is going to speak what the heart is. If that heart is good, then out of the mouth is going to flow what? Nothing but goodness. It's going to flow. If it's not right, it's going to be a mass of confusion and destruction. That's the only thing in the world that it ever can be. We're walking tonight the last mile of the way. I believe that with all my heart and soul. We're walking the last mile of the way. This election Tuesday is going to bring things. It's going to be absolutely effective. I believe if Carter goes back in, within 6 months, we'll be taken completely over. Within a year, it'll be finalized. If Reagan goes in, every subversive in the world will be right in here with riots and everything that is unimaginable to the human mind. We're heading for catastrophe. And if there was ever a time that we open the doors of our heart, you know, this spirit that dwells within our mortal body, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the tomb, from the dead, That spirit has got to be activated in that heart and in that soul. It has got to be the predominant power. Or otherwise, suddenly when this earth begins to move, and we realize this is it, it's all over, and that we cannot be raised off the ground, that He has come, that He has redeemed them who are prepared to meet Him. Prepare to meet thy God. Open the doors of your heart and say, Lord, show me, teach me, my Lord and my God. I want to see a victorious church. I want to see a church raptured in the glory and the praises of the living God. Right up to the very, very last moment, I want to be standing in there building to the kingdom of God. I see Him tonight. I see Him as He walked among those people. I see Him, though He was the shepherd and the leader, but His heart was heavy, it was burdened because of the rejection of the people. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says so. You know, we have never known any heartache that He didn't know, isn't that right? We have never known any abuse or persecution that He has not known. He has known it all. He felt the same things that we feel. Tonight, I feel that it's such a special blessing. It's such a glorious calling to be counted worthy to be persecuted for His name's sake. Oh, we're such a privileged people. Don't be cast down. Raise up thankful hands and hearts to the heavens and ask Him to prepare us for that last mile. And we'll march right through to victory. In closing tonight, we're all going to stand and we're going to sing together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And oh, how I love Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Oh, how I love Jesus. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. To me, it's so wonderful. To me, it's so wonderful. To me, it's so wonderful. Because he first
Praise the Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Heavenly Father, as each of us go our way now unto our home, let thy praises just roll up from the very inner part of our soul. Let our hearts cry out in thankfulness and praises unto the living God for the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, bring us back here again tomorrow night, filled with thy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy God.
Holy Father.
Singing praises unto
Hallelujah,
thee.
Hallelujah, Father.
Lord, we'll give you the praise and the thanks.
Father.
For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.